Okay. All right, I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Smith County Public Library Board of Trustees and welcome everybody out. Thank you for braving the cold winter weather and being with us this evening. I don't think we have any introductions of anybody tonight. We all know each other. So the first thing we need to do is approve this draft agenda that is in your packet in front of you. You could look over that. And we will entertain a motion to approve this if no one has any changes.
Well, I would move that we approve the draft agenda as presented.
Okay, do I have a second?
I second it.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And now we will have public or guest remarks. So that will open us up to hear from our Chilhowee representatives tonight, since we're here.
I'm right here, but I can't see you.
We, our friends group met Tuesday, and we have a new president.
Exciting.
You must have been after the
meeting.
I was after when I became treasurer.
Oh.
Linda Dean took her place. She's the former branch manager, so she's going to be the treasurer. And we still have Lula Warden and Kathy Wright as the secretary. So.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, Gabe's. Connie's done a lot of work to help the library and me for several years, so I'm really happy to have her.
She has been absolutely relentless with the raffle baskets for the Apple Festival. She has gone from Bristol to Withville, everywhere, asking people to contribute, and they have. There were dozens of baskets for the Apple Festival,
it was nice.
And they made a ton of money. So Connie has been the force behind that. So
thank you. Look forward to working with you.
I just want to tell you really briefly about some of the things that are going on. If the weather holds out on Saturday, keep my fingers crossed, we're having an Appalachian music presentation by a former professor from Radford University, and he is specialized in Appalachian studies. And he's going to talk about the history of the music, but he also is going to play some instruments. So I really hope that we get to have that. And I wanted to show you some pictures of things that we've made in the makerspace this week. We're making mouse pads with personalized photos. And Abby Gonzalez, she's the one that's doing the majority of the work. We started out on Tuesday, and we're still having a little bit of trouble with the sublimation printer with the coloring, but it's going really well. Each time we make something, you can tell an improvement. So I'm really happy about that. And today, I just found out that we were approved for the Virginia Commission of the Arts grant. So
what will that do?
I have information about the artist. Her name is Jennifer Reese. She's a textile artist. I didn't get a chance to tell Rose.
It's an announcement. It's an announcement.
Surprise!
I just got the email, but she's going to do an artist residency at the end of April, and it's going to go through the first part of May, and she specializes in upcycling and textiles and folk art and things like that, and then she's going to do one session on fabric dyeing. So
indigo. Indigo shibori dyeing.
Yes, I'm excited about that, but if you all are interested, I have some samples of what she does. And then I also, well, I can wait until we talk about the makerspace if you want to do that. We have a winter reading, a little promotion. We're doing this with adults and kids. And we have a bingo card, and if they get 5 in a row, they get a prize from the makerspace.
Oh.
They can print out something from the 3D printer or...
Are those printed from there?
Yeah. This is going to be the main prize. And I already had a kid come in today, and she said, I'm winning this.
She's going to be first.
Yeah. So these are some examples of things that they can win.
How long does it take to make it?
Well, we tried to select things that were under half an hour or an hour, and I think that was just over an hour.
Do you have to put this together?
No, it comes out just like that, surprisingly.
Seriously?
Yeah.
We need like one of those workers.
I just can't believe all this.
Yeah, it's exciting. And we're getting people to, yeah, we're getting more interest in the maker space, so I'm excited about that.
Is it just for kids?
No, adults.
Okay.
Adults, yeah, that's like the kids, but for kids.
Kids at heart, thank you.
There you go.
Pass them on. Here we go. Look at the dragon and the flowers. All right, so you're going to come back to us for Makerspace at the end?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So anybody else have anything for public comment, remarks? Okay. All right, then let's move on to the approval of the minutes of the November meeting, which are in the packet here. And if there are no changes to that, we'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes as presented.
I'll make the motion to approve them.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Uh-huh.
Aye. Thank you all. All right. Now let's look at the disbursements for, we have November and December.
Yes.
In your packets.
So there's a lot of normal stuff, and then there are a few things that I wanted to mention because they're a little unusual. So in November, we had Josh Witt. We paid him on November 5th. And this is beyond his regular contract with us because he did a lot of cabling here for the Makerspace. He had to run the cable under the building to be able to connect all of the machines in there. So there's a separate Wi-Fi network in that room that's closed, and it's only for those machines so that people can't kind of come from outside and send stuff to the machines themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So he did all of that, and then he also did work at the DC Moore office in Marion. We moved the old TV from that used to be in the Copenhaver room and put it out there because there was never a screen or anything, so if people wanted to use computers, and that, you remember a couple months ago, we finally got Wi-Fi in that building, but that building has never had Wi-Fi, so people couldn't use computers for meetings in that building, and now they can. So that was probably the biggest thing. But the other thing I wanted to point out to you on the page with all the colors. So we used to give you a block that was Helen's credit card, and it was really hard to see what was in there. So we decided to break it out and color code it for you. So purple is the Makerspace. White is just random stuff. Blue is programming. Green is materials, so DVDs, books, anything for the collection. And then red is supplies. So hopefully that's a little easier for y'all to see.
Oh, Helen's Visa, right?
This, yeah, this is all Helen's Visa card.
Getting points
you
on that Visa.
Have the highest balance, Helen.
It does.
Yeah, but it shows you a couple things. It shows you how much procurement happens in the library.
A lot.
And how much we're using the credit card. So you'll see, like in that white, the internet, you know, that was just paying the point broadband bill on the credit card to get the points.
How are those points going?
Oh.
Pretty good. I think we're waiting for another, probably around $500.
Yeah, we wait until we get $500 and then
that's money we wouldn't have had otherwise. So
yeah, so we've done it 4 or 5 times since we started.
Helen, there's something on here for Maison, Quill, and Cabell. Are they starting to learn to play?
Oh yes, we have a morning.
Did I say that right,
Mahjong?
Mahjong.
Okay.
Yeah, currently we have 2 tables full for in the mornings, and then we have 2 tables full for in the mornings. And then in December we had planned on starting a nightclub, but with weather and stuff. We ended
a nightclub?
Yeah.
Mahjong. Mahjong at night.
I will tell you, though, apparently there is some talk of library liquor in the Mahjong morning meeting.
So they come every Wednesday morning, from 10 to 12. Last week, there were 10 people that showed up.
And like last week, there were 5 new people.
I saw there was a thread on Facebook where somebody was asking about if there's a Mahjong group. And,
is there a situation that you can learn to play?
Yes. So the original, how the original morning thing went was we had a lady out of Roanoke, Richmond.
Rowena.
That came down, who plays and is a teacher, and she taught a class for 2 days. And then Rachel and some of those players helped with this new group, that other group of five that came in. So Rachel was working with it, and then some of the other players were very helpful. Like Jane Tate's in there, Beth Graham, and you know, they
Beth Gates,
that's what I was trying to think of, yeah. Sorry. And they all just had a great time. And they work with each other and help each other out. Susan Rutherford, she started playing last week.
Library Susan Rutherford?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay.
Yep, she started coming last Wednesday. So, and eventually we're going to reschedule the evening one. The plan is to maybe to bring her back to teach, but we'll see. We may not have to. It depends on how things go with Rachel and the new people to see.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I apologize, everyone. Every time my phone dings, I'm looking to see.
The baby.
Today's the day.
I'm sorry.
The baby, we understand.
I think everybody would be so.
That's understandable.
So what you see on the list there, Patton, is Rachel has snacks. So the Marion Friends gave us a budget for Rachel's snack program.
Uh-huh.
So Marion Friends gave us $2,500 to pay for snacks this year. And so the snacks for Mahjong and the Quill and Gavel Society, when you see that on the list, that she's buying her snacks.
Is that where the morning?
No, absolutely not.
Well, if I can just say, I remember when we were talking about doing this, and there was, you know, it's like, cool, this is new, and gosh, that's a lot, that's a chunk of money to pay. I'm just so excited to see the return on investment with this, because I signed up for that afternoon, that you realize,
yeah.
And I should be number one on this.
You want to be number one.
I want to be number one. Yeah.
I understand.
I'm a little nervous because there's
strategy.
Headsets come up down the number two. So I'm just super excited about
that. I'm going to be there too, and I have not a clue.
Okay,
the only Mahjong I know how to play is the one on your. Yes.
Okay.
It's not the same. Yeah, so
I'm just super excited to see how this is taken off. I mean, it's mm-hmm. so exciting.
Well, it was very interesting that she had, like, so she ended up with five new people, and she had two regulars. So the three of them worked with five new people.
It feels like Mahjong is the new bridge.
Kind of feels like that way, yeah.
You know, there's the bridge clubs, now there's Mahjong clubs.
Yeah.
It feels like. But
they show up every Wednesday morning.
I'm glad it's well attended and that people are enjoying it.
And they have a great time.
That's good. All right.
So that's the November list.
All right.
Do you want to vote on them separately or vote on them together?
We can do them together, I think.
Okay. Then the December list has the big bite for the audit.
Right.
And I've given you all my audit lecture before. It is expensive, but compared to libraries that don't get them done for years because they're part of a town and they get sucked into the town audit and then they can't do other stuff because they don't have a current mm-hmm. audit. We're able to apply for all these grants because we're able to give them a current audit. So
that's great.
It's expensive, but it pays off for us.
So is there an issue that I've had before, some of the accounting firms, they'll just put Cox Accounting and you never know who there's a person.
Oh, no, we have our attorney.
Does a person sign the report?
She won't. I talked to her about that last year. So what you'll see is it's Emily. So, you know, Emily Beers is our contact here at the bottom. So it says from Robinson Farmer Cox, but she did put her name down here. But I did
have a big problem with that.
I did talk to her about that.
I can't send a letter out from my office that just says law office. You'd want to know it came from me.
She says that I did talk to her about it, and she said it's because, you know, as a firm, they stand behind the work of their auditors. And
well, the whole firm's responsible, but you still. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it is Emily. Her name is there.
Emily. Okay.
and so you can email her.
Okay. Thank you.
I did talk to her about it and said that was our compromise, that she would put her name on the front page, on the letter, so you could reach out to her if you wanted to do that. So the audit, the other, we did buy the Makerspace Dropbox for a whole year. We just prepaid that because it was cheaper. And then we have another round of the color blocks of stuff for December.
The colors didn't help. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. And I love this woman. I can read it.
Yeah.
And then on the supplies for December, we bought 2 fire extinguishers because we need to have one downstairs in the Copenhagen room in Marion, because we're starting to do cooking programs where,
really?
And I checked in the best practice, we have hot plates that they can use in the Copenhagen room. And I talked to Dennis and it's completely legal for us to do that, but he recommended that we have a fire extinguisher in the room. So we have one that will be in that room. And then we had another one we bought for the Makerspace, and we still have one more that we have to buy for the Makerspace, a CO2 fire extinguisher because of the laser cutter. Mm-hmm. They recommend that you have one in there, but it's a special one so it won't trash the whole room, but it's quite expensive. And so Helen is shopping around to try and get us the best deal on the CO2 fire extinguisher.
Mm-hmm. And we also bought fire blankets.
We also bought fire blankets, which were very inexpensive.
They were.
We bought a package of 4 of them, and so we sent 1 to every location and 1 for the Makerspace.
Okay.
Do they still not do the fire extinguishers out of salt?
Like
they did in the schools years back?
Oh, that company? You mean the company?
Uh-huh.
I think they went out of business because I know that we had to buy one for the Saltville Branch Library several months ago because we couldn't get anybody to go out. That poor fire extinguisher hadn't been touched since 2005, and we kept calling and calling, and we asked the town, and the town said our provider isn't in business anymore, and so we ended up just buying one ourselves so that Saltville would have one.
And then you monitor it yourself.
Well, we would prefer to have it wrapped into the town. So, for example, in Marion, the county comes and inspects our fire extinguishers every year.
Yes.
And they come on one day and gather them all up and inspect them and then bring them back. In the past, like the same happens here in Chilhowee, the town inspects them every year. And we've let the fire officer, the fire chief here know that we were adding these fire extinguishers, so he knows about that, so they'll get added in Chilhowee. Saltville is still a work in progress, so we probably have to monitor that one ourselves.
That's good.
Yep. So those were my only things I wanted to explain because they were a little unusual.
Okay. You all have any questions about anything on November or December? No?
Quick question, just the Quill and Gavel Society, I feel dumb right here.
No, it's the writing group that Rachel's running in Marion. It started in November. They met 4 times in November to get started, and now they're meeting just once a month.
Okay, I remember that on the website.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so they called it the Quill and Gavel Society because they were meeting in the D.C. Miller Law Office, and D.C. Miller was a lawyer. And so it was kind of Quill and Gavel, but they held the first meeting in there, and there's something wrong in the room, that there's something underneath the floor that is making a terrible noise. And Byron is shaking his head.
It's a what?
We don't know what it is.
It's like a clicking.
Oh.
It's something electrical. Oh. I had my surgery, and I've not been able to crawl underneath it.
Something clicking, though. It's not an animal.
The writers begged not to be in there. Okay. They said it was too distracting to write. And so so she's moved them back in. They've been using the Sherwood Anderson room to, temporarily. They would like to be in the D.C. Miller Law Office, but we got to fix some stuff maybe before they can go there.
Thank you.
But that's why it's the Quill and Gavel Society.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Okay, do we have a motion to approve both November and December disbursements?
Yes, ma'am.
Patton makes a motion. Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right, now with that, let's go to the financial reports for November and December.
So first, the deposits. In November, we got two deposits from Marion. They always pay monthly, but their check got lost in October, so we got two in November. And then we had the first $2,500 donation from the Marion Friends. And then in December, we got our quarterly payments from Chilhowee and Saltville, as well as $2,500 from the Chilhowee Friends for the makery. So that's the deposits. In terms of the budget reports, I don't really have anything special about November. We did have 2 months of Point Broadband. They skipped October, and so we paid twice in November. And then the bill for my trip to Richmond hit in November in our travel account. December is a little more interesting. When we got the E-rate central bill, it was half of what it normally is, which is quite good news. So I'm happy to have that $1,400 for other stuff. I think I haven't asked the Library of Virginia why it dropped so much, but I think it's probably because they have more people using E-Rate Central, and that lowered the cost for everybody. On exterior and groundwork, most of that's going to go away because, happily, we've got the outside of the Marion building cleaned this week. I don't know if anyone else noticed the black at the top of the building, the brickwork. It's all gone.
Wow.
We found a company that came in and cleaned it, but that cost $1,600.
Well,
that was still very reasonable. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been done in the 5 years I've been here, and it desperately needed it. So we were really happy to find someone who could do it. We also, the digital resources, that's $19,000 there. This month we've sent another $10,000 to Hoopla, and that was always our plan, was, you know, $20,000 for the year. So we sent $10,000 in July, and then in January we send the second $10,000. So that number will go down. And then finally, on payroll in December, we had three payrolls plus the bonus, so that is a much larger than normal payroll number.
Okay. Do you all have any questions on anything that you see in here?
What is the fees that you get from Chilhowee and Saltville?
That's when people pay for copies.
Okay.
Or they pay to print something. Or they pay for a fax. So it used to be fines and fees, but we don't charge fines anymore, so it's just fees.
Okay.
But that's really people paying for copies or for faxes.
Looks like we're within budget so far.
Yeah, there are a couple areas where we're gonna shortly jump out. When Josh does the, there's a subscription for the cybersecurity, and that account is down to $95, and we're going to shortly, he does it quarterly, and it's like $430 a quarter, so that one will go over, but we have plenty of other areas where we can move money from.
Okay.
Yeah, the cybersecurity subscription, so it's showing $96.50. is left, and we have one more of those we have to do this year.
Okay.
But we have plenty to move from other places.
All right. Y'all have any other questions?
No, it's good to me.
Okay, we don't have to vote to approve this. This is just a review. So if at any time during the month you all have something that pops in and you say, hey, I need clarification on that, Their doors are always open. She was happy to answer questions, I know, and so is Rose. So you all just feel free to contact them with any other questions.
And the great thing about QuickBooks is if you have questions about any of those codes, she can go into the code and show you everything that we've paid in that account this year. So it's super
thank
easy.
Thank you again, Sheila. I don't know if you all know this, but several years back we used a different, we had an external company. And they brought this, you know, Sheila does like four pages. They would bring something this big and I said, where are the disbursements? And they said, page 5 and 12 and 13 and 17
and we still
and
didn't
24.
Know the detail on what it was paid for. So Sheila basically saved our lives.
She put it in a format that we can all read.
We've had a team here that has put together, between all of them, we've got like the dream team of financials. And so finally we know what's been spent. Because that's one of our main roles. This is one of our main roles.
But it was really hard to figure it out before, if you're with all those different pages.
Well, this is our role. And if somebody, like one of the Board of Supervisors asked us, can you tell me what was spent? And you can't answer that. That's a serious problem. So we're in good shape now. So thank you all for doing that. Okay, director's report. Okay. And I know there's a lot on here.
Well, I will try not to take too long because it was long. So hopefully y'all had a chance to look over it. I did want to mention a couple things for our partners in HAL. There were two changes in the last couple months. The first one was a happy one, or they're both probably happy, but the first one was the addition of a second delivery to Marion every week. So when we were doing it once a week, every time they came, they were bringing in 6 bins and they were taking out 6 bins. And that's pretty cumbersome. Like the driver was making 2 round trips to carry all that stuff. And so they approached us and said, hey, we think if we came twice a week, the deliveries would be smaller. Are y'all up for that? And we said, absolutely. And so they're coming twice a week now. And so now it's 2 or 3 bins every time. And that's a lot more manageable for us and for them. Because when 6 bins arrive, Helen's staff has to process 6 bins worth of stuff and parcel it out to Saltville and Chilhowee. And so it's a huge thing. So doing it twice a week is better. And for our patrons, it means the turnaround is faster. If they were waiting for something, now it comes twice a week instead of once a week. So I think that's a good thing. The other change we made at the board of directors level was to basically get rid of the reimbursement system that HAL had when we joined. And so everybody, I think when they created HAL, they were worried that, you know, if somebody borrows, you know, 5 books from us for a student from Emory and Henry or a patron in Tazewell and lose that stuff, how do we get paid back? So they had a really complicated formula and they did it kind of a 2-year lag time. And it took evidently days for people to calculate who owed what to the system. And so we looked at data for the last 5 years and the amount of reimbursement between the 5 institutions had gotten so low that last year it was only $35. And they said it doesn't make sense to do days of calculations for $35. And so we just think we should get rid of the whole system. And that means we all, you know, are basically taking the same risk. You know, just like we have a risk of people losing materials in our normal operations, now we're assuming the risk of our HAL partners, that some of them might lose our stuff or our patrons might lose their stuff. And we agreed that, you know, if we have egregious cases, we'll try to work it out. But yeah, it made no sense. And we looked at the data and over 5 years, and it has been the most it was 5 years ago was $200. And ever since then, it has gone down and down and down. So okay. We thought it was sensible, so we did that.
Sounds like it.
So HAL news. The other thing I was just going to mention or highlight, you know, in the retreat in August, we talked about digital literacy and why digital literacy is important in our community. I did go ahead and apply for a grant from the Smith County Community Foundation to buy 60 laptops, and the goal for those laptops would enable us to offer classes to get folks accredited with the AARP Senior Planet curriculum, where AARP for free will license it to us, and they give you all the materials. They give you the curriculum, the worksheets, even the flyers to use to advertise the classes. But they require that you have a class set of laptops for students to learn on. And so we want to do that. But we also want to have laptops available in the library for people to borrow in the library. And mostly it's because people need to stop doing everything on the phone. There's a big study that came out in October by two professors who said, you know, they studied it over years, and people who only use the internet on their phone have inferior digital skills, and they're not able to do the things they need to do. And so we really do...
Inferior digital skills.
They really do need to use a large screen device to learn how to do everything they need to do. And so we need to have those large screen devices available in the library for people to learn on. We know from our experience with the Wi-Fi hotspots that we can't loan them. We can't let them go home with people because they won't come back, or they'll come back in pieces. So this is a compromise of how to do this. So I don't know when we'll hear back on that grant, but I'm hopeful that we will get that funding to be able to start that program. I've been working with Kaylin and with Kristen about building opportunities in Saltville. That continues to be an issue for us. The building is more or less okay right now. There are no emergencies, but that can change at any moment. So the Lifetime Wellness Center building was transferred by the town to the Smith County Community Foundation. They haven't yet processed the deed. They want to have an environmental study done, and they're doing that now. They asked the town of Saltville if they thought the library was interested in moving into the space where the town shop was. And Cherie Fullen, the mayor, said, absolutely, we know the library is interested. So I reached out to Linda, and she asked me for an email, which I sent her on Monday, kind of just expressing our interest, saying, here are all the reasons we think this is a good fit for the library. And those reasons include it's a much larger space, it's a flat entry, there are no stairs, there's no ramp, there's lots of parking. Being located with the Wellness Center makes a lot of sense for both institutions.
Is this the Walgreens building?
No, this is the Wellness Center. That there's a the end where the town shop has been for several years.
Okay.
It's that space is where we would like to go. And it has that wonderful drive-through window. So we still do have patrons in Saltville who can't get out of their cars, and so our folks are running out to them to take stuff to cars. And we have, I know Heather has a few as well, where there are folks who can't come in and we take stuff out to the car. I think the drive-through would be wildly popular if we could use the drive-through. So there are lots of reasons. So, you know, I've sent that off to the foundation to see what they say back. I asked them to let us know if they consider the library being in there as a viable possibility. I don't expect to hear back from them at least until early part of February.
If they say yes, would that be gifted to us?
I think...
Or to the county?
I would hope that they would let us use it rent-free or at a nominal rent. Mm-hmm. In theory, the town of Saltville is responsible for providing the space. I don't know financially how much rent they would be able to cover. I would hope we could work it out with the foundation.
Okay.
But it would still be their building. And they have worked, this is kind of, you know, probably a year away because they have repairs they need to make to that building. They have HVACs that have failed. The roof needs to be patched. Ultimately, it needs to be replaced. So they have work to do. And then for us to be able to use it as a library, we would have work to do. We would have to put in lighting fixtures, probably. We would want
to... still a lot less than the however million it was
right,
to build.
Nine and a half million for the new one.
It'd be easier to raise money to do all those renovations than to build.
Yes, exactly. But yes, we would then have to start looking for funding for the furniture and all the stuff. But I think that's the best process we've had in a while.
Well, that sounds great.
Yes. And I did talk to Kaylin also about the Walgreens building. I talked to
the mayor as well. I have a call out to someone who I hope knows more about that building. So that's out there too. I think there's likely to be water problems in that building because it's on the same level as our current building. Mm-hmm. And so I understand that the water flow out of the well fields to the river goes right under there. And so I'm guessing there are water problems. So that may not be a great fit, but I would like to run that down so we know that. But I think the Wellness Center, is, assuming the county, the community foundation is on board, I think that's a better option for us.
So I guess my question is, like, after they do their environmental assessment and stuff, what if it's not what they want? I mean, like, how does, and then they don't sign the deed? Like, how does all of that work? Is there, like, a plan in place for that, too? I mean,
I have no idea.
Okay.
I think then it goes back to the town of Saltville.
That's what I said, yeah. But yeah.
It goes back to the town.
They
can't afford to fix it, is what they said. Is the amount of money they need to make those repairs they don't have available. Hmm. So yeah, it's not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination.
I have heard on another note that some people who I know that go to Saltville on a regular basis say that things in Saltville are really booming with the library, that there's a lot of programming and it looks like things are going really well. So.
Yeah, it has been going well. So I was going to talk about programming. Teens this week have been super successful. Tracy had 16 on Tuesday.
Four of which I've never seen before. So that was, it's four. Yeah.
Wow. And same story for Kristen in Saltville. Mm-hmm. She had 11, four brand new that she'd never seen before. Mm. So yeah, that plus she's doing a lot of programming on Saturdays. There's an appetite for people who want to come to stuff on Saturdays. So she's doing book club on Saturdays. She's done craft programs on Saturdays.
And it seems like from the pictures, there's a lot of people.
Is she doing
on
TikTok
Saturdays?
Or something? Is she doing something like Reels? There's something she's doing over there that is hitting social media.
Yeah, she's doing great social media.
I was going to say she's apparently doing a really good job with that. I always see the Chill House stuff. I have a friend who's seeing all the Saltville stuff. So together we're seeing it all, but it sounds like everybody's really doing a good job of pushing it out there. I mean,
yeah, I think our programming is as good as it's been in the 5 years I've been here. We've got a wonderful lineup of programs.
I think there's a lot of great interest too. I mean, the community's been supportive of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you ask people what they want and give it to them, and they come. It's really wonderful. and Margaret had participated in the Saturday program on January 3rd.
Yes, we did vision boards. It's a
fun. Vision boards, that sounds fun.
Looking ahead to programs, we've got, Kristen is very excited about Citizen Science Month. She proposed fungi and mushrooms for Citizen Science theme, and she's got everything planned out for April. I think it's going to be really fun. And then, of course, summer reading has already begun. We've placed orders. Helen got the order for all of the CSLP stuff, which is the national consortium. And then we'll be buying other stuff locally, but the big order has gone in. I wanted to just say a few words about collection stuff. I am looking at alternatives to Newsbank. I think I mentioned that in November. Newsbank just keeps getting more and more expensive every year. Mm-hmm. And I love that we give our patrons access to 12,000 newspapers, but not many of them are using it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm having a harder and harder time spending $5,000 a year on something that...
Mm-hmm. Is there a place that could narrow that down?
So I'm looking at another option. There's a company called Press Reader that is very popular with libraries, and I have a quote from them that is less. It's not half, but it's $3,700. But it has fewer papers, and so that's the trade-off. We're going to start a trial. We have a two-week trial of that for library staff starting on the 26th, and so we'll see. But it has
more national papers, but it doesn't have as many as Newsbank has.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of newspapers. I mean, who could...
12,000. And they're not the national papers, right? They're local and regional papers, but that was kind of the point. We have the national papers in one database, and then the Newsbank was the kind of to give people the local paper. You can get the Roanoke paper or the Withville paper or the Bristol paper in Newsbank. Press Reader, I haven't been into all of it yet, but I'm not sure we can get that as many state local papers. So what's the trade-off there? So we'll talk about that. We continue to see more people using Hoopla and Libby. So it's about even. You know, we've got quite a few in Hoopla, but Libby is also still very strong.
So I have a question about that.
Yes, ma'am.
How, so there are several books that I've tried to find in Libby, and it says if your library happens, so do we have to buy the specific book
yes.
in Hoopla?
Yes. No, not in Hoopla, in Libby.
I meant Libby.
Yes.
Okay.
So I do that purchasing.
Okay.
And so I look at things that people have put on hold.
Mm-hmm.
So we're part of a consortium. Across the state. It started in Southwest Virginia, but we've expanded it. So Charlottesville, Portsmouth, Pocosin, they're all now members of our consortium. And we all put in money kind of proportionally depending on our size. And we all are responsible for buying a certain amount of money every year. And I go in, I buy ours, and I have increased the amount. Our obligation is $1,500 a year. In recent years, I've bought much more than that.
Right.
But the titles in there are wildly expensive, mm-hmm. right? I will to buy the licenses are they come at you both ways. First, some of them will limit you to a 12-month license. So if Patterson or Grisham put out a book, they typically only license it for a year. And so you buy it for 1 year and you pay $85, which is three or four times what I pay for a print book.
Mm-hmm.
And I only have it for a year. Or they will get you on the number of uses. They will say you can buy it for 25 uses,
mm-hmm.
but after 25 people have borrowed that book, you have to buy another license.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that same $85.
I don't like either one of those options.
Right. It's terrible. I mean, it is a model designed to take advantage of a captive audience. And so that's why part of the reason we went to Hoopla. Hoopla is, you know, we only pay for what we use, and it's instantly available. But Hoopla doesn't have the stuff. Libby always has the best sellers, right? And Hoopla is going to get them, but they're going to get them 6 months or a year from now. And people want them right now. So everybody in the consortium puts books in there, and then we share them. We take requests, and I go in and buy stuff that people want. You know, we had one the other day who came in who wanted to read the Poisonwood Bible, but she wanted the audio version.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have the ebook version, but in Libby or Hoopla, there is no audio version. The only audio version that I can find for the Poisonwood Bible is in subscription platforms.
Okay.
And again, that's deliberate on the part of the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make as much money as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And libraries have been fighting this battle for the last 10 years about kind of the publishers, you know, see this as a golden goose and they're trying to milk it as much as they can. But you know, anybody is free to suggest books they want in Libby anytime, and I'm the one that does the purchasing.
Okay.
I typically go and look and see what I can see what our patrons have holds on,
mm-hmm.
and I go in and buy stuff that our patrons have holds on.
Right.
And that makes, you know, that should make their wait shorter. Right? I checked whatever it was that I was looking for the Poisonwood Bible 2 days ago. And we had a couple things that people had 9 holds or 8 holds. And I will typically buy those. If, you know, we have a whole list of stuff that has only 1 hold. I'm usually not going to buy something that only has 1 hold
mm-hmm.
in Libby just because they are so expensive.
Right. And the reason I ask that is because sometimes I love to do series, and I like to do them all. And then there are, you know, and there are open spots, and so then I have to figure out
where to get them. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. And I've had to go to Audible a couple times to fill in the gap. So I was just curious about that. Okay.
Yeah, but feel free to. I mean, I love to ask, have people give me specific suggestions.
Okay.
So I want to buy what people want to read.
Right.
I almost never buy things. Sometimes they have a sale and they have stuff that's super cheap. If there's something that they've knocked down to $8 or $9 and it's popular, I might buy it just because it's a good sale. But typically I only buy stuff that our patrons have expressed an interest in. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's all I have.
That's all you got. Okay.
Oh, no, I wanted to point out while we're in the director's report, you can see the logo for the makery.
I like that logo.
So Amelia Linford, Margaret's daughter, designed that for us, and we think she did a great job.
She really worked hard on that. She agonized over every line.
She wanted to be perfect.
She did.
You did very well.
It's exciting to have the makery.
All right.
So, all right, that's...
That's our next topic.
Report, and let's go into the makerspace then with old business. Can you believe it's old business now?
It will be for a while.
Old business, Heather.
Well, I will let Heather talk. Or do you want, I'll do it. Or...
You speak first now.
Okay. Well, obviously the logo was a very big important thing for us to get done. Rowan Hollyfield, who is our library assistant here in Chilhowee, and several months ago, you may recall, we offered her the full-time position that we had available when we had changes in Saltville. She has done that for several months, but told us in January that she wanted to go back to being part-time. So instead of filling that full-time position, we're advertising for a part-time position for 15 hours a week to work in the makery, because we really do need to have someone dedicated. And when we made Rowan full-time, it was, you know, to make her available in the makery. So we are hiring. We put the application on the website on Monday. It has a glitch or two, but as of Tuesday, it's working, and people are filling it out. So we have five different people so far, and it's open until next Friday. I think so far the applicants that we have are very interesting, so I think we will find somebody good out of that. So that's another important thing for us to keep the makerspace going. We've had some great donations.
I just had another one.
Oh yeah, people have come in. So
this week
the mouse pads that Heather has had folks, Abby, our work study student, and she's also a part-time staff member, has been teaching people one-on-one how to put a photo on a mouse pad with the sublimation printer, and that was one of the pictures that Heather showed you, and those were donated by Julie Sturgill, one of the town council members, who just brought them in and said, hey, we're going to do something with these, and we didn't, so y'all can have them. And
nice.
So that was a great...
We had another lady come and donate another back to mouse pads. So that's what I was like, we're doing mouse pads.
Wow. Well, great. And we had the art place donated vinyl and for the Cricut and
wow.
Fabric.
We had a lady contact me yesterday. She wants to donate a sewing machine. I'm not sure about that, but she has fabric and yarn and different things.
People are showing up, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I told you this before, the two big pieces we still have left to buy are the recording studio and the quilting machine. And Heather and I, Brian Martin, the town manager, brought a guy over to meet Heather the other day.
It was right before story time. But Abby gave him a little tour of the makerspace, and they stayed back there for at least half an hour.
And he knows a lot about recording studios, so Heather and I are going to meet with him in a couple weeks to get his advice on the recording studio. And then we still have to make some field trips for the quilting. We have a couple places we want to visit to talk about the quilting machine before we make that decision. We owed a report to Wellspring Foundation in January, so Heather and Helen worked together and pulled that together, and we submitted that before the deadline, which is always nice. So hopefully that's all taken care of. And then I'll let Heather talk about the classes. We had classes in December, and we have classes going in January.
I wanted to add one more piece to the staffing. This week I interviewed a lady from Henry. She has just been accepted to the Librarian School to do her master's, and she wants to do an internship here. So I'm working with her and her professor, and I hope she's going to start next week. So she, I know, I'm so excited. She's going to be available on Tuesdays and Thursdays during the times we're open. So I think we'll have at least two people back there at a time, and that's like a godsend.
Yeah, that's great.
We don't really have a lot of extra staffing otherwise, but and we've tried these classes, and it's hard to instruct people without laptops for everyone, so we're doing more one-on-one appointments, and Abby's done quite a few of those just this week, and we have a schedule. We did the mouse pads this week. On Saturday, one of our Makerspace advisory members, he's going to do two sessions of 3D printer training. Next Saturday, we have another Makerspace advisory member teaching people how to do bookmarks with the Cricut. And then the last week, I'm going to teach some classes. We'll see how that goes with the X-Tool. So we're going to, I ordered some slate coasters, or Helen placed the order, and we're going to let people customize those with a design on it. So hopefully that won't be too difficult. I did have a lady call and register for that today. And I'm finding out a lot of people in the community have some of these pieces of equipment, and they're calling and they want to know, like, are we doing an extended class? And I'm like, dang, this is just the basics right now. But I really feel confident if we get somebody, a part-time person in there and an intern, and we have Abby, I think it'll get off the ground. Because we do have a lot of interest.
It'll become the Makery Institute one day.
Well,
a lot of potential here.
Brian from the town is very proud that this is located in Tulare, and he has brought people through. He brought a guy from Henry & Henry who is part of a fraternity, and they want to come and engrave their paddles for their fraternity, and he knew the lady that I interviewed for the internship, so I think that will get more students.
I think Emory's going to be a big, big boost to this.
I think if we can get it going, it'll be pretty popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now we're still concentrating on learning the machines and teaching people how to use the machines.
Right.
And I don't see us doing open lab hours until March at the earliest.
Yeah.
But there is a demand for that. I mean, people want to come in. You know, the exception would be if, you know, somebody... There are things that don't require instruction, right? And so if people need access to the Adobe suite on the Apple computer, we can allow people to do that as long as staff is in there.
And the intern, she has experience with Adobe, which I like that, and she also has experience with sewing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think we're going to find somebody with skills for all these machines unless they just drop out of the sky. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be you. Well, we have like basic training, but like the lady I talked with today with the X-Tool, she said, oh, I've been online for a couple of years. Are you going to be doing an in-depth training? And I said, no. Basic. We're all learning together.
Yes.
I think it's going real well.
Thank you.
Do y'all have any questions about that?
Sounds like we already got a lot of interest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I do think that the rule we're going to have a hard time enforcing is the 12-year-old rule. I walked in today, and there was a dad with three little kids in there. I stood there going, oh, they're not supposed to be in here. But I didn't want to. Abby was talking, so I didn't want to interrupt. But I do think that's going to be a hard one to enforce. But I think we have to. I just think there's too much danger and too many things that could get broken if we have younger kids in there. All right.
Okay, so that's the Makerspace update. Now let's move on to new business, the review of the fiscal year 25 audit report.
So your little binder thing, that's the audit report. There's not a lot to tell you. There are
Their audit finding is the same one that they have made every year, which is that our small staff size means that, you know, they have concerns about internal controls. And so we have tried to spread everything as much as we possibly can across the people in this room. So, you know, Sheila prepares the bills, I approve the bills, Sheila writes the checks, Heather, Helen and Tracy sign the checks. So, you know, we are attempting to put as many people in the loop as possible so that, you know, no one of us can misappropriate or embezzle funds, but they would still like more separation. I don't know how much more separation we can get given the size of our staff.
Okay, there's something off the top, just what does this mean? Corrected and uncorrected misstatements. What is that? What were
those
the uncorrected misstatements
journal
that have
entries.
Been provided? I'm like, what's a misstatement? What so are we talking about
Sheila
here?
Knows this more than I do.
Okay.
So.
Where do you see that?
It's at the top of the second page on this little letter that's in the front.
Oh, okay.
It's the third page.
We can't close prepaids to
the year. Oh, prepaids have always been an issue. Okay.
So they do that. They just do one little journal entry, one main one, about three lines.
Okay.
And then I do that every year. I just put that in the journal.
Okay.
And I can't do it because it was for a budget.
Right.
So that
sounds like a good compromise.
But I'm proud to say that this is my fifth perfect audit. So
congratulations.
This year has been very hard, but.
Okay, that's what a misstatement is then.
Yes.
I had to clarify that so I knew what they were talking about.
And I did the same thing. Whenever she sends the draft, I then send back a list of questions.
Right.
And then Emily and I have a phone conversation about them. And to be honest, this year they had messed up something about our accounts. They hadn't counted the savings account that we used to pay for the scholarship.
Oh.
And so when I was going through the accounts, I was like, wait, there's something missing. And so I sent that back to them and they corrected it. And so I did ask about the misstatements. She said, well, those are the journal entries.
Okay.
And, you know, you should, you know, close out your whole fiscal year before you open the next fiscal year. And I said, well,
that's been going on for decades. I remember hearing about the prepaids being an issue for decades.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's just not something that you can.
Right. In our world, we're never going to. We try as hard as we can. I mean, and this year I gave everybody instructions and I set very rigid deadlines. You have to order by this date.
Right.
You have to do this by this date so we can get everything paid in the month of June to the best of our ability, but it's never going to be perfect.
No.
I don't know if this is an accounting term or not, but to call those misstatements is really misleading.
Yeah, because it does make you think, that's a lie.
Is that
it's a misrepresentation then.
Oh, okay.
They shouldn't.
Okay.
Because it really does raise this red flag, because in normal lingo, that's not a good word. But I'm glad that that's what we're talking about. It's just.
It does say right here, in our judgment, such uncorrected misstatements are immaterial.
Well, yeah, but I'm like, well, what are they? It said you can ask about it. You can ask about what those are. And I thought, well, okay.
Well, you'd have to call this Robinson Farmer because you don't know.
We don't know it. Okay. So is there anything else that you all, just to cut to the chase, is there anything in here that we can actually change that would improve our audit?
I don't think so.
The only thing that we changed, of course, when I'm here, the system, I would tell you,
because we didn't have a person in that position during that time period who really understood, you know, how to run it.
In a different accounting firm,
an external accounting firm, which wasn't working to our benefit. So it was like creating the wheel over again.
Right.
So So if
well,
the
congratulations audit, on a perfect audit. I don't guess I need to ask you questions.
I mean, that's the most stressful part of the year for you, isn't it? The audit is here and it is done. And it is perfect.
So we're going to be the next fiscal year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, seriously, they will start. In April, we'll get a letter for the FY26 audit. Well, and in May, they will give us a list of tasks to do.
Yeah.
We get a very small break from audit.
At least it's not Randy.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's great. Thank you all. There's nothing else we need to talk about on that then.
No. But again, this is one of y'all's big responsibilities.
Okay,
this is
our responsibility. So you all can take that little report home and dig through it at your leisure. Now let's do the 2026 preview.
Yes, so just because it's the beginning of the year, I always kind of try to look ahead and see what are we going to... And again, we discussed some of this in the retreat in August. There are no huge surprises, so... We got to keep implementing the makerspace. We've got to continue to look for resources for digital literacy. I sent out yesterday a revised evaluation form for 2025 evaluations for all staff, and I've tried to simplify it and streamline it to kind of four questions, two to be completed by the employee, two to be completed by the supervisor, and done. So hopefully that will make it easier for everybody. I still owe you all a new volunteer policy. It's about halfway there, so I've got to get that done. VA 250, this is the big year for VA 250. Although in Smith County, it was last year in terms of historical events, and so the committee had quite a few, the whole series of events. You may recall the banners and the event in Saltville with Madam Russell and all that. So we did all of that, but you know, since 2026 is the year, we have to do stuff here as well. So we're meeting next Friday to finalize our plans. One of the things we have worked on is a movie series, and I met with the Lincoln Theater is going to co-sponsor, and so we have a list of five movies about the Revolution, and the Lincoln Theater has agreed to provide the venue at no cost and to staff it themselves. So we have to get the licenses for the movies and then, you know, set the, I think I found dates that work for everybody, but we're gonna decide that next week. And so hopefully that'll be a popular thing to have free movies at the Lincoln Theater. We're probably gonna do it on Sunday afternoons because that seems to be a good time, and hopefully we'll get people to come out for that. We're also working on having a reading of the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July. And as much as we all love our fireworks and our hot dogs, we also want to think about what's in the Declaration, what is it that we care about so much in that document. So we will, so Max Wyatt from the Historical Society is working on that, and we are looking to have different people from Smith County recorded reading different segments and then ask the radio station to play it on the 4th of July.
I think we should send that to Congress too. I think they've forgotten what it says.
Yes. John Copenhaver has confirmed that he will be the inaugural speaker for the Martha Hull Copenhaver Lecture Series that we agreed last summer to do. So that'll be July 25th, the last Saturday in July, in connection with the Copenhaver Family Reunion. We have piled stuff of additional local history material to be digitized. Helen, how much do we have now? We have quite a few.
We have a lot.
We have family history documents that people have donated. We have a lot of funeral home cards. So we are going to, this is going to be a project that we think Todd can work on from downstairs. So we are going to get that started.
If y'all need any pointers, happy to help.
Oh, good.
Provide some guidance.
We will take you up on that.
There's some new technology that I think would be really beneficial for you all. Happy to come by and help him with that.
Okay, that would be great. We are overdue for just a overall website scrub to make sure everything is up to date. We do it as we go, but sometimes we miss corners, and so we need to give that a big scrub. Our friends groups, we've had leadership transitions in two of our three friends groups, and I hope the Saltville friends group is going to meet this month. And so that would be, I don't know whether there will be a transition there or not, but hopefully we get them on a regular meeting schedule as well. And we have the new handbook from the Library of Virginia, so we'll make sure everybody has a copy of that. And then like to look forward to some collaboration among the three friends groups. So, and then the ongoing stuff and the facility stuff. I don't know if y'all have any questions. Anything you think we're missing?
Seems like you have plenty to do.
It's always an ambitious list.
It's been a busy 2 months. Anytime we miss a month, we have a lot to catch up on. But we appreciate all you all do. It takes a lot to run a successful library system. We recognize that, and we appreciate it. So don't think that you're not appreciated, because you really are. It's important that each one of you are happy in your jobs, and so we do hope that is the case. So, any other questions from the board, comments? All right, with that then, we will plan for our February board meeting in Saltville. That date will be the third Thursday, which is the 19th of February in Saltville.
So, February 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And with that,
is it at 5:30?
5:30,
yes, sir.
If there's anything that changes, we will send out an email. If there's weather, we will send out an email. Hopefully, we will have no more of that.
I always worry. I don't know how we always manage to fall in February in Saltville, and I always worry
about
the weather.
But you never know what'll happen. But anyway, thank you all for coming and participating as board members. It's appreciated. So, with that, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make the motion that we adjourn.
Do I have a second?
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.